Hey guys, Andy and Sam here as always.
What's up?
We're also joined by Rusty Trombone.
Hey.
Justin.
Aruga.
And Mr. A.
Greetings, everyone out there.
And today we got a special treat for you. The NC-7 special fried treat, Kentucky Fried Movie.
Really?
Killer Joe. Killer Joe. Isn't that a movie? That's a movie. Kentucky Fried Movie is a movie.
I don't know.
I swear to God there's something called
K-Fry C.
Yeah. Killer Joe, 2011. Came out in the States in 2012. Directed by the pretty awesome William Friedkin, I would say.
Yeah, he had some good stuff.
Yeah, he's got other movies that we reviewed. Mr. A, what are some of the standouts from Mr. Friedkin's career?
Well, I think the two big standouts that a lot of people know about are The French Connection with Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider, and then the 1973 original The Exorcist. And so a lot of people know him from those two big movies, but here just several months ago, we did Cruising, a 1980 release.
Yeah.
And then probably his other best-known work is 1985's To Live and Die in L.A., starring a young William Peterson and a really young Willem Dafoe.
Cool. So, awesome.
Cool.
Also, Willem Dafoe's brother is a very famous heart surgeon.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Brain surgeon or heart surgeon? From University of Michigan, I believe. Yeah.
Typical Michigan fan.
Did Willem Dafoe start in porn?
That was Rusty's question.
I always heard that. I don't know if that's true.
I've never heard that either.
Yeah. All right.
Even if I knew if the answer was yes, I probably wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Because then the natural question after that is...
Yeah, then the mystery's all
how do you know?
Yeah, the mystery. Yeah. The allure. He looks like he could be in some sort of weird porn.
I don't like how you guys know what he looks like.
Willem Dafoe?
Oh, I thought you were talking about his brother. I got confused. You know, porn to heart surgery? That's a normal step. One for
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, A to B. We'll let Mr. A talk about it. This was his recommendation.
Yeah.
We've all wanted to see it, but he was pushing hard for it.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everyone listening basically the gist of the story? I mean, it's a very short play, an hour and a half film.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, this movie's about an hour and 40 minutes. It's based on a late 1990s play written by Tracy Letts. He's a playwright out of Chicago, I think. He was with the Steppenwolf Theater for a couple years and then gradually migrated into doing movies. And a couple years before, Friedkin had done an adaptation of Bug, 2006, starring Ashley Judd. But anyway, this movie stars Matthew McConaughey, Emile Hirsch, Thomas Hayden Church, and Gina Gershon. And the basic plot is that Emile Hirsch is a little Weasley drug dealer who's in for some money and basically decides to kill his mother to collect on the insurance proceeds and decides to hire Killer Joe, played by Matthew McConaughey. And things go really downhill really quickly.
I don't know if it's downhill. It's just bizarre hill.
Bizarre hill. Downhill for the family, going great for Matthew McConaughey.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah.
See, it has to go downhill because the first scene starts with a big old close-up of a merkin, just a big chaunch. Gina Gershon opens
great.
The door.
Chaunch.
So from there, of course, it goes downhill because where else can you go? You start so high.
You peaked too early. Gina Gershon's merkin.
Yes.
Merkin.
Yeah.
Nice.
Why is it called a merkin?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What is a merkin?
I have no idea.
Educate the masses out there.
Well, I would say Google it because it's fun to just Google.
Oh God.
Does the gherkin go in the merkin?
What?
Great.
Well, now what's a gherkin?
Really good about
now
that.
We're just back to square one.
Yeah, yeah. That's
all right. Okay, a merkin is a fake vagina hair, basically. I guess it could be
just one vagina hair?
Yeah.
Just one
hair.
Yeah,
it's made out of
an implant,
prepubescent kitten fur, actually. So they're very soft.
Great.
It's fake hair. So like actresses in movies, if the movie has to take place during like the 70s or something, or if they're white trash, you just put a little merkin on, and then boom.
Oh my god!
It was also in.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
I think,
holy shit!
Girl with
luxurious.
A
great.
I think Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, they also used Merkins. Most movies where there's a full frontal of
is
a
this
woman.
The history of the Merkins now? I'm sorry.
You asked, yeah.
This is intriguing. I'm learning.
You don't want to know where I've been.
Great.
Are you still awesome. Talking?
I had to think about Willem Dafoe real quick because we were talking about old Willem Dafoe.
Okay.
Has anybody seen Streets of Fire?
Nope. I have not.
God. Does anyone want to watch Streets of Fire with me? Because it's a really good movie. Willem Dafoe's in it. It's like 1984. A 19-year-old Diane Lane is the star of it. She's very pretty.
Okay.
And Willem Dafoe, all you need to know about the movie is that Willem Dafoe makes this face and has this hair.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That is really good.
That's all you need to know.
Oh, wow.
So you should see it.
He looks like that dude who won American Idol a couple of years back.
Clay Aiken?
Yeah.
Ruben Studdard? Like did he even win?
He looks like one of the Indiana Jones guys, like when they see the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when they see the arc. Yeah.
He's got like an Ace Ventura kind of thing going on, and his hair's all up.
Yeah, face melt.
Anyway, it's a good movie. Check that out. Streets of Fire.
Okay. Streets of Fire.
Good music.
Streets of Fire. Moving on. Moving back to. Thank you for the history of the Merkin. That's why.
It was revealing.
Expert testimony right there.
It's probably more than I'm sure our listeners would want to know about.
I doubt it.
I wanted to, you know. And that goes to the one person wearing a Merkin right now listening to this show.
Shout outs to you.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, we talked about. I mean, the plot's pretty simple. Don't you think so, Mr. A?
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything really complex. It just gets right into it really fast.
Yeah, without really giving it away, basically, they hire Killer Joe, and he kind of does some work for them, and things go haywire.
Well, he's also...
There's misunderstandings. It's kind of like... you said it best. It's pretty simple. It's not very
I'd say the plot is so simple, so you can focus on the twisted characters...
And how goofy everyone
...of all
is.
The people. So you have Gina Gershon, Emile Hirsch... Matthew McConaughey. Who's the father?
Thomas Hayden Church says.
Who's in Sideways and also Spider-Man 3.
See, I've never seen either of those movies.
You've never seen Sideways?
No. Fuck no, Spider-Man 3. Why the fuck would I watch that? Because
1 and 2 were good and 3 is so bad.
1 and 2 are good now? What?
Compared to 3.
Compared to 3, I don't know.
2 in particular. 2 is like one of the best superhero movies. Are you serious?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
What?
I don't think so. All of a sudden, it's like, let's just dump this thing into a lake, and that'll solve our problems. They could have done that at the beginning of the movie.
But he was bad.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's go back to it. I think the plot is so simple, and you could definitely tell that it's a like kind of adapted from a play.
Yeah, you can kind of tell that like the way that characters kind of move in and out, and the way that it's paced is kind of like play-like.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it.
So there's also in a lot of scenes, but particularly the first scene at the trailer park, they do a lot of talking over each other. Like they don't finish speaking before the person they're talking to responds to them.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like really noticeable in that first scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple times throughout later in the movie where you see it, but definitely that first scene, it's almost like it's like they're in a play.
Yeah,
where they're talking to an audience.
How they all hate each other.
Basically. Yeah, as opposed to just talking
to
each other.
It's like No Exit, but really shitty.
Oh, yeah. I think we see how Sam feels about the movie.
I like love No Exit, but with Merkins.
Well, let's talk about...
That would have made No Exit better. I'm just saying.
Well, let's talk about... I guess this is going to be hard for like half the crew, but I think for Mr. A and myself, we liked it. What we liked about it first... We'll talk about what we liked first, and then you guys can think about something that you liked.
Okay.
And then your general nitpicks, and then we'll fight about why we think it's a good or bad movie.
Garbados.
I think this is a pretty... I didn't know it was going to be so polarizing between everyone who's seen it.
I kind of had the expectation.
Really?
Considering how lurid the last act is.
But that it's also...
That's not even why I don't like it.
I like it for the... Well, we'll talk about why I like it. Let's talk about favorite scene and what you like generally about it. You want to start off, Mr. A?
Sure, why not? I think my favorite scene is when they're going to the lawyer's office and they're trying to figure out, okay, who's going to get the $50,000? And then they're talking with the lawyer, and here's Thomas Hayden Church wearing some type of trucker's cap.
And a polyester suit.
Yeah, brown polyester suit, and there's this string that's just out there, and Gina Gershon's character tries to take it out, and his whole sleeve falls off.
Yeah, his sleeve falls off. That is so funny.
That was pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. But in general, so that was your favorite scene. In general, what did you like about it?
In general, about the scene or about the movie?
The movie as a whole.
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of a hard movie to like, to be quite honest, because, again, it's one of those, like, after you watch it, you want to go and just do something clean.
Or eat at Wendy's.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think that your first impulse is like, yeah, this is really bad. And then if you think about it some more, it's just like, this is insanely funny.
No.
I thought it was.
No, it was.
Especially some of the...
It was funny.
Just, I think Thomas Hayden Church's character, he's the entire comic relief for the
movie.
He was awesome.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then in kind of a sadistic way, Emil Hirsch is always getting the shit kicked out of him, which I think is also hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I guess I'll go next. In terms of my favorite scene, I think would be the most controversial scene, the fried chicken scene.
Oh.
Yeah, in particular, when he climaxes.
Oh yeah, that's pretty.
And
great.
He slaps his own ass.
It's pretty great.
That part is hilarious.
He's a happy boy.
And I've never seen anything quite like that in a scene that makes you feel so uncomfortable and weird watching it. You feel gross watching it, but then he does this really crazy, emphatic orgasm,
and it's hilarious.
And it's so funny. It's like you're. All the different feelings you're feeling, like this is really strange and terrifying, and then he comes, and then you're like, oh, yeah, that's good,
yeah.
Right? Just like that, like a flick of a switch. I thought that was really good. In terms of, speaking for the film in general, I would say a lot of performances were very good. Each character, from Matthew McConaughey, Thomas Hayden Church, those were my two favorite ones. Thought the young girl that is used for
Dottie.
Dottie. I thought she was a little weird.
Oh yeah, I don't think we said her name.
Juno Temple.
It's Juno Temple.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Juno Temple. I thought she was just kind of weird, but I think that was more of the character than
the point of her character.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And Gina Gershon is always just Gina Gershon.
Chromosomes.
You can't help to think when you see Gina Gershon how many strange B movies she's been in every time you see her.
She was hot in Face Off.
Oh, she was in Face Off. That's
and,
right.
And Showgirls.
Showgirls. Yeah. Yeah. But I liked
Cocktail. Sorry.
Was it Cocktails?
Yeah.
Really? I can't think of anything else. Because when I think Showgirls, I then think about the Flintstones, and I don't know why.
Nope. Oh, because the guy was in that.
Yeah, the bad guy. Yeah. The bad guy from the Flintstones is in Showgirls.
Yeah.
He was also in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
You guys have seen that show.
Watch Twin Peaks.
It's a great show.
Yeah,
it's a great show. But I really like the Matthew McConaughey's character and... Thomas Hayden Church's character in particular. Yeah. So moving on to Justin.
Yeah, I also liked it. It was depraved and kind of brutal, but I think it was purposefully trying to be over the top in some parts. It didn't do the hilarity as much as it could have. It could have been done in a funnier way but you were definitely uncomfortable. It reminded me of Werner Herzog's kind of remake of Bad Lieutenant, the Port of Call, New Orleans with Nicolas Cage, where it's just so weird and just over the top, but it's still good. It's I don't want to see it again. Like, I don't probably never have a reason to see it again, but it was still a good time. It also made me uncomfortable, kind of like that movie Bully, not the one about little kids beating up each other, the documentary that just came out, like the older movies, like 5 years old with Brad Renfro. And Nick Stahl. That's an uncomfortable movie to watch. Don't watch it.
Okay.
But if you want to know what I mean by you're just uncomfortable, that's an uncomfortable movie. My favorite part is when there is the drug guys that Emil Hirsch owes money to. And
they whip him.
They come to beat him up. And the guy who's like in charge of that, he's like this white dude. He's got a mustache and like old dude.
I hope he has cancer all over him. I hope that's why he's so translucent.
Well, when I saw him, my first thought was that's the guy from Cop and a Half.
Cop and a Half?
Yeah.
What?
That movie with Burt Reynolds from like the early 90s. It's a super 90s movie.
Okay.
Remember Cop and a Half?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Andy remembers. Andy remembers Cop and a Half.
The pissing contest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who Emil Hirsch owes money to in the red truck.
Uh-huh.
That guy was one of the bad guys, like the thug. The
yes, he was.
In Cop and a Half. And that's what I thought when I first saw that. I was like, Cop and a Half.
Because
great.
He looks way older, but he looks kind of the same.
It was kind of how when we saw Side Effects, I was like, that's Buzz from Home Alone.
Oh,
it was
like
that.
Yeah,
it just takes me back.
So true.
So I like that part for that reason.
Shout out to Side Effects.
Also, goddamn, Matthew McConaughey must wax his whole body like twice a day.
Yeah, dude, you are like mesmerized.
Nobody
by this.
Is that smooth. It's weird. I don't understand.
He just waxed at some point.
He's got like no hair anywhere on his body.
Maybe they put like. something on them? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, it's insane.
Can they put stuff that kind of hides your hair? I don't know.
I don't know. I think he really does.
I read a story the other day on one of the movie blogs about how he was shirtless in a Whole Foods.
Oh, really?
I think it was Austin. It was Austin, yeah.
The one in downtown?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey was like shopping there, and he was shirtless, and a guy was talking to him, like just a fan, and the manager came up and told him they had to put on a shirt to leave, and the fan was like, here, just you can take my hoodie, and gave him the hoodie, and then he just left with it. And then
later Matthew McConaughey takes people's
clothes. Just took the hoodie, but then out, he was the same guy. I guess he's in the business or something. He was at a party in like L.A., and McConaughey was there. And he had like jokingly said, oh, remember I lent you my hoodie at Whole Foods? And Matthew McConaughey left and then came back. He's like, yeah, I had it in my car. Here you go. And gave it back to him.
Oh, okay.
Weird.
Has a happy ending. Yeah. But it just seems like something very Matthew McConaughey.
Typical McConaughey.
Classic
McConaughey.
McConaughey. Macaulay Culkin. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So, nice. Nice.
Rusty.
Rusty.
Shit all over.
I guess my favorite scene was when the dad, what's his name? Thomas Hayden Church, when he grabs Emile Hirsch and he's like, get him, Joe. Like,
oh,
right
yeah. That whole last 5 minutes. Amazing.
Yeah. It was just hilarious.
You don't, it's like a, and like a can of meat, something like that.
And
it was like the pumpkin, canned pumpkin. Yeah.
I really like the characters. I thought they were, solid characters and really good actors and really good acting.
Yeah, I think I mean, so too.
It was definitely good.
This is going to be interesting to hear from Rusty because he doesn't know if he likes it or doesn't like. He's on the fence. We'll talk about it when we get to the ratings. All right. But you can tell us why you're so confused.
I also like The Bad Lieutenant too. I thought that was a good movie.
Very nice. Lots of parallels.
Solid plug for Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
All right, so Sam.
Okay, so I don't know what my favorite scene would be. I kind of like the one Aaron started with, or sorry, Mr. A started with.
Now the bag down.
where they were in the office and they were trying to get all of the insurance proceed money, and Gina Gershon takes the polyester thing. That was just hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Because it was like you could kind of see it coming, and it was like sort of like old-timey hilarious goof joke. So I like that part. That was cool. In general, I kind of like the way that he used color and chiaroscuro, because there's a lot of situations in which, like, I don't think the scenes were shot particularly well, but like the way that like colors kind of pop. I don't know if they did like a After Effects, like a DI thing where he made colors like pop out a lot more, but it was just very interesting because like it's kind of a really grimy movie, but watching like if you compare this to like Cruising, where everything was kind of like in like grays and blacks and blues for the most part, like this movie, while also maintaining kind of like that grimy theme color wise like the tones just seemed to pop, it looked a lot more diverse. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, I like that. That was cool.
So if those are the good things, I can't imagine the bad things you're gonna say about this movie. Yeah. Okay. Was that in general and specific, right? You got
that
stuff. Okay. Well, I think now we're gonna get to the more contentious part of the podcast.
Contentious.
Things we didn't like so much. And this is gonna be hard for me, I think. But Mr. A, do you want to go first?
Well, that's kind of hard to think about,
because it was so damn good.
Yeah, I think it's a strong movie. I mean, despite the lurid subject matter, and I think that's probably the main turnoff of the movie. If you're not prepared to watch something that's really bizarre and just so off the wall,
it's not that
nuts. Well,
the weird chicken thing
is pretty
bizarre.
For most audiences, it's just not going
to
be
palatable.
For lack of a better
term. That's fair to say. Palatable.
You don't want to watch
not a date movie.
You don't want to watch this with your date. You don't want to watch this with your grandpa and grandma around
any family.
Don't watch this with anybody. Yeah. Don't watch this.
Ooh.
Don't get that K-fried C. Yeah.
But like, is there anything specific? It's just kind of like, I guess what your complaint would just be like is almost too strange for some people.
I think so.
Too hard to handle.
It, like I said, it's just something that's not going to appeal to a wide mass audience. And, I think they recognize this going into it because, the play's what it's about. And of course, it got an NC-17 rating, and they didn't want to put anything on the editing room floor. So, you know, that's probably one thing. And maybe the other thing is that maybe some of the scenes in the middle, the pacing seems to sag just a little bit in the middle. And maybe that some of the scenes were kind of shot in the – they could have made sure that well, when those two biker guys kicked the shit out of Emil Hirsch, you could tell that maybe they were missing some of their marks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then – but, you know, the and then the overdubs. That's the one thing that Friedkin does a lot in his movie.
Yeah, pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, but he does that for – I don't know why he does that a lot because it's always –
Yeah, he doesn't need to do it. So, like, at least I don't – it doesn't seem like he would need to do it. There's nothing in the background that would, like – mess up the
especially
audio,
especially in this movie.
Yeah,
so I don't understand why that was done. Maybe I don't know. I just can't come up with a good reason for it. So there were just a couple of technical snafus in there that I think could have been fixed. But maybe that kind of contributes to its overall charm because it does have that kind of that grindhouse, low budget, you know, exploitation film type feel to
it. Isn't it pretty low budget for what it was?
No.
What was it? Is it $10 million?
Yeah, it's $10 million, which seems like a lot to me for a movie like that, where you don't really have special effects.
I can't think of something.
You don't?
Yeah,
I mean, other than
know.
Like the one car blowing up, that's the only thing I can think
that
of.
That car explosion was also
a little dinky.
Yeah, it was really.
You know what? That's okay. That's
it was
okay.
Like a little, it was like, okay, it's like, you know, when you're gearing up, it's like going to be a huge explosion, then it's just like a.
And then, it's like a late fart.
I don't understand. Well, it's see, that's what I understand. It was a $10 million movie, and I wonder if half of that went to Matt McConaughey for just being.
Yeah,
in
it
the
must
movie.
Have been. It must have been something, or maybe it was something where they had like casting issues, and like maybe they had someone, and then that someone left, or something like
Stetsons
that.
Stetsons are expensive.
Yeah, his Stetsons are $5,000.
I would say Mr. A took basically what I was going to say too, because it was the pacing in the middle. Like when he gets his ass beat.
Yeah.
I think that was, that scene kind of turned, I think that was the tipping point for Sam is when we hit that scene and he's just like, okay, I just can't give it any more slack. Yeah. That scene particularly was, you know, that was
it looks so, it looks so amateurish. Like it looks like a Saturday evening B movie that they play on like the CW. I don't, or they used to call it WB, whatever.
Or UPN.
Or UPN, yeah.
I was just thinking about at the very beginning when we knew it was also like the audio was just like the dubbing was distracting.
Yeah, that was really distracting. I think it got better though. Like after 20 minutes, I think they like figured out whatever weird dubbing problem they had.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And
I want it to be that they didn't have the audio on. Like they had their mics off or some shit.
I don't
want
to say like there were needless scenes to me, but some scenes were just seemed like kind of like.
They went on a little too long.
Yeah. Like yeah. But other than that, I thought it was very solid because it kind of dips down in the middle. But then when you get to the last act of the play, you know, when they're all there, it gets really intense really fast. Justin.
I would say that last act is really absurd, over the top. But also, it could have gone on for like 5 more seconds because it ends almost ambiguously.
So that's your big beef?
Yeah, and it didn't. I don't think it needed to. And like their motivations didn't exactly make sense. Like, Emil Hirsch was fine in the beginning with the sister. Like, didn't care. Like, oh, give her the sister. It's fine. Retain her. And then later, he was like, no, I'm gonna take my sister and leave. It's like, well, are you real protective of your sister, or do you not give a shit?
Because he wanted to fuck his sister.
Yeah. I kind of got that, but it was like under the rug a little. Like they didn't really ever.
I don't know. I see. I wonder since you watched the rated R, did they have the dream right at the beginning of the movie?
Wait, maybe not.
There's a dream. There's a dream toward the very beginning of the movie. We watched the NC-17 version in which Emil Hirsch like enters the house and then you know
and
everything's.
Naked sister.
Yeah, and he sees his naked. He sees his naked sister in like a weird apparition kind of thing.
Yeah.
I did remember that. And actually, that part made me stop the movie and look up how old Juno Temple was because I was like, "What the hell? What am I watching?" Because they don't. They play her age as like a teenager in the movie. Like they don't ever say what it
barely
is.
Barely legal.
But yeah, it's a very barely legal vibe to it. But she's 23, so. Felt less creepy.
so it was okay.
But she has a like child-looking body sometimes. You're like, this doesn't feel right.
What doesn't feel right about
Merkins.
Great. Oh, my God.
And but yeah, that ending was just a little ambiguous. And the character motivations, I don't know. And especially the daughter herself, Dottie, like, you don't know. what she seems to want. Like, she takes part finally in that
she's,
final
she's
scene.
Some
yeah, it's like
she is. She's not all there.
Yeah, but they never.
But sexually,
yeah,
she is very giving.
Andy knows.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, that's.
Tuna casserole.
That's all.
Stuff like that. Little bits like that.
There were a couple lines in there where I was like, that was where he's like, take off your brassiere. I was like, what?
I like
who says that?
I'd like to see you in that dress.
Yeah, who wrote that line and didn't think to just say, like, bra? Like, why? Yeah. I don't know. It was just, I thought that was a little strange.
I don't know.
That whole scene was really uncomfortable.
See, I feel like Mr. A and I could probably explain about, like, we took their motivations, you know. It all comes to, well, we'll talk about it. I think the last part, the ending really bothered a lot of people, I think. Because it ends with just like, on a question, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
there's no resolution.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess we'll just move it on to Rusty.
I guess my gripe about it was that it just seemed at times to be weird for the sake of being weird.
Right.
And that I thought, you know, the characters were really good and the acting was really good, but I didn't think the story was that great.
Right.
You know, it's a movie I probably should have watched a second time because I feel like, you know, going through it a second time, you could get a lot more out of it. You know, stuff that
that's
you
possible.
Miss,
yeah, yeah.
Subtle things that we've talked about.
Oh, just like, you know, I remember you laughing. If you try and just like think about stuff that happened in the movie, so much happened for that hour and a half. Like when the father walks into the pizza place and just takes someone's beer off the table and drinks it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, they just like he just yeah, he looks into the glass and then just takes just gulps it down. It's stuff like that. I'm
yeah,
sure we
exactly.
missed all of it. Yeah, yeah. And now
those were my major gripes.
Well, that's not too bad though.
Yeah, no,
that's not bad.
All right, here it comes.
Here it comes.
Why is it here?
Everyone just bend over and take it.
Yeah,
fried
no, this
chicken.
Movie was not very good in a lot of different ways for me, but. I got nothing against Merkins. Yeah. I didn't even know what that was. So I was just like, okay, that's it.
When you Google image it, it looks like a bunch of big mustaches.
Great. Yeah. They got the little wax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wizard
beards.
Awesome. You know, I didn't think the movie was shot particularly well. There's some point, like kind of maybe the third or fourth scene in which Matthew McConaughey is in. I don't think it's the first date with the tuna casserole thing. I don't know when it is, but like you can see the camera go in and out of focus. It just looks super fucking amateur. So you could have gotten that shot too, because it was a silent shot where he's just sitting at the table and it just goes in and out of focus for like 2 seconds. The dubbing thing was weird. There was no reason for there to be dubbing, given that it's basically set up like a play. So there's only dialogue. There's not a lot of action in the sense of like, you know, on like cars running around, and I think like
there's a lack of musical score too.
Yeah, there's no music. 2/3, which I also hated. 2/3 of it is indoors, so there's no reason. Yeah, for the dubbing, that was really weird. I don't know why he did that. I hope someone's mic should have fucked up or something. Then I could understand. But yeah, that was weird. I thought some of the performances were good, and then other performances were like abysmally bad. Like, I just didn't understand what they were doing in the same movie. Like, Matthew McConaughey did a great job. He's kind of like, you know, sort of that chauvinistic kind of like the boss kind
he's
of thing.
He's also crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy too.
You can't tell
and he
what
does,
he's thinking.
Yeah,
at all.
He does a great job with that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think he does a great job. Emile Hirsch, I feel like anybody could have played just some punk ass who gets beat up every other minute. Like,
he's very good at being not likable.
Yeah, he's good at that. Yeah. Gina Gershon, I think, did an okay job. What's his name? William Hayden Church?
Thomas Hayden.
Thomas Hayden Church, sorry. He was badass and my favorite character in the movie.
He was fucking amazing.
He was hilarious. Yeah. Everything he did was great. Yeah, no, he was really good. But then, like, yeah, Dottie was just weird. And, like, I understand that they were trying to go for kind of an appeal that, like, you know, she had some kind of mental problem or... Yeah. See, yeah, like it was hard to understand
really?
Exactly what they were going for.
They never say any like.
I assume she was some sort of like.
Yeah,
because
they're like, oh, she's psychic and like she can tell when phones are coming or something. And then I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, it seemed like developmentally challenged or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
well, I mean they built that story because there's a line in there, wasn't it, where her mother tried to smother her with a pillow?
Yeah, yeah. And it's
yeah,
like,
maybe.
She was like really young. Yeah, she remembers it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like almost like a lazy storytelling technique to create a character who just acts bizarre all the time, because that's not actually how, like, developmentally, that's not how it would work. But that could be just because I'm like familiar with the subject.
I think there's also something there too, though. I mean, if you look in her room, she's got a whole bunch of Cinderella shit all over the room. So maybe she's trying to live this
fantasy
life.
It's like Arrested Development or something.
Something like that.
She's constantly stuck in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't treat her like she's disabled. Like she walks around by herself. She gets like she goes out by herself.
She's autonomous. So it's inconsistent with her own. Like,
well, yeah, but at the same time, you can just tell that she's a special girl.
Yeah,
but to be fair, all those people shouldn't be let out in public.
Yeah, I was gonna say they all seem weird. Below the regular like IQ.
Thomas Hayden Church was watching like monster trucks on TV.
I used to watch
turning
monster
off
trucks
the turning
too.
Off. The, see, you didn't like the heavy handedness.
Right? They say Thomas Hayden Church can't read or something.
That's right. That's he can't read it.
Yeah.
And you were telling me that you didn't like the heavy handed bit of it, how he's always turning off the television. Remember
that?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Matthew McConaughey's character, like, anytime there's a TV on, he has to turn it off, which just seems, like, unnecessary.
I took that
like,
as,
if he
like,
does
the...
It, if he does it, like, one or two times, I get it, but he does it, like, every single time. It's distracting.
Like, don't you get... Like, it's obvious the message that you're trying to... I took it the message is, like, you know, it's, like, the boob tube, just turn it off.
Oh, no, totally,
right?
Yeah. But it's, like, over the top. Like,
oh,
you don't have to have it, like, hammer me in the face. Like, I fucking understood. Like,
well, I mean, his whole character's over the top. I mean, he's all about procedure and he's all about rules,
that's
right?
True. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even...
It's just like an unnecessary thing.
But, why the whole thing with the dinner table scene after he does what he does
great
to Gina Gershon? And then he says...
Oh, with the chicken? That's an awesome
scene. And then he says, why don't we have somebody say grace?
Yeah.
Why do you want to do that right after that? Because he's a man about rules. He likes order.
Rules, order. Yeah.
They just act like everything's fine.
That's just that contrast of just nutty the first second, and then all of a sudden.
Also, why does it matter that he's a cop? That never really played into the story at all.
Because he's a bad boy who doesn't follow the rules.
He could have just been a guy who kills people. Like, it didn't
he could have been.
Yeah, there's just so much like convoluted, unnecessary shit that they kept adding into it. It's like, okay, man, I get it. He's a badass, whatever.
To be fair, that's in the play, so I can't really fault the movie for that too much.
Yeah.
That's the story.
That's just the...
But it's just weird. Maybe the play has more scenes. I don't know.
I thought the playwright is from Dallas. I know he went to Chicago earlier, but I think he's from Texas, isn't he?
His name is Tracy Letts. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Makes sense as to why he keeps taking shots at Dallas that don't even make sense. I don't even know what part of Dallas they're supposed to be in.
He lived in Dallas. He's supposed to take place over there by Harry Hines. That area town.
I live near Irving. We've been through Harry Hines all the time. There are no parts of Harry Hines like that.
That's probably the thing that bothered me about most about the movie because none of that looks like Dallas.
Yeah, none of that looks
it
like
looks
Dallas.
Like the, yeah, it looks more like Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. It looks more like Detroit. There's like there are train stations everywhere.
Probably was filmed in Detroit.
I think they actually filmed it in New Orleans.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
Whichever's cheaper.
It was really weird. And like the cop, that's not even Dallas cop cars. Like at least get the cop car right.
Well, look, it was just, it didn't feel like Texas. But here we are in Texas, so it's
they
like.
They don't sound like Texans, except for Thomas Hayden Church.
Who I think is from Texas, maybe?
I don't know, but he sounded pretty Texas.
Matthew McConaughey definitely is.
He is, but he was a crazy character.
They were great. I mean, he was a great.
Awesome.
Those scenes when he's puking, hilarious.
That's awesome.
What do you think about this?
It's all chunky. It's
oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
So funny.
It's great.
But even with that scene that was funny, when they pan over to him after he asked the question, there's like 2 seconds of nothing. It's like Thomas, it's like freaking didn't say like, and go.
Maybe it was an editing issue because like the weird out of focus shots. Those could have been edited out. I don't know what happened.
There's
like,
some stuff in there that took away from the movie experience, but I don't think it was enough for Mr. A, myself, or Justin to be detracted from.
That's distracting when you're someone like William Friedkin who's been in this business for a long time. You should know
to
be like,
Cruisin',
hey, you dumbass editor, do this better.
There's nothing wrong with Cruisin' like in the editing stuff or anything like that. And then you know you would think that. 20 years later, it'd be fine.
I mean, maybe that rawness they did because, you know, it's based on a play.
Cruising
and it
raw.
Have...
Cruising
know,
was raw. There's fisting
Cruising
in it.
Super raw, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, the editing.
Oh, yeah.
The editing problems and stuff just to, like, give it more of, like, that play feeling where... You know, it's live and there's mistakes and stuff.
That's insulting to the playwright and then plays in general. That's not really the direction he should be going with. Plus, in that interview thing we just watched where Mr. A showed us, Friedkin sounded like a total dick being like, oh, yeah, that's just how it is. Things are in the South. Like,
yeah, where's Friedkin
that was,
from?
That was
Chicago?
He's from Chicago.
So, I was... This is very... poor subsection of any place that you could just call what that was.
I know
the way he
characterized it was like, look at these dumb kids.
I've been to like trailer parks before. It was not like this is like it was basically
they're not brilliant, but
did
like,
you take it
not,
like in the interview he was basically talking about is like some sort of like almost like a creature study of people who have nothing else to live.
Yeah, he
you know, like other means
yeah,
of living.
He sounded pretty condescending in that.
It's not even his story. Like who.
Well, the way he's portraying it, there's a way to do it that doesn't make him sound like
the absurdity of poor people.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, they could have been from anywhere. I don't think it even mattered that they were.
Oh no, it
that's
doesn't
true.
Matter.
That's
they're
true.
From Dallas. I'm not saying
probably
that,
makes it a more
like,
interesting thing that is in a Texas, you know, backdrop. But
yeah,
I think we're going to get into it. Let's do it. You want to do the ratings right now? I think we should.
Yeah, let's do the ratings.
Yeah. I think it's going to be like I think what's going to happen is we're going to go round one. We're going to finish off with Sam. And then round two is going to be like why we disagree with Sam. And then And then round three is going to be why Sam is right now. So I think it's going to be good. Mr. A, do you want to start off or do you want me to start off and just pass it to you?
You got the mic, man.
I got the mic.
The magic mic.
I've got the conch.
I've got the conch. Okay. My experience, much like Mr. A's experience, and maybe a little bit of Rusty's, was when we watched it. This is how it went down. We watched the movie. The movie finishes. We're in a very dark room, and everyone is very quiet. Mr. A is like, I'm sorry I picked that movie, guys. And then everyone's like, no, don't feel bad about it. It was a movie.
There was some film, right? 35mm?
I hope so. You know, even at that point in time, there were scenes that we liked, and then we know that it was a very strange experience. And Justin had just finished that this afternoon, so he's fresh. But like after a couple days, we ran into Mr. A at school, and I was like, man, I really think I liked that movie, just looking back on it. And I didn't feel alone, because his voice soothed my soul, saying that he felt the same way. And I left it not thinking it was a bad movie initially when we watched it. It just didn't have that, like the way Cruising was when we watched it, like, wow, what a fucking great movie, right? This one was like, what did we just watch? Especially because the last 10 minutes
15,
are so,
minutes,
like,
yeah.
so lurid and intense.
They're so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's awesome, though.
It is awesome. I could watch the last 20 minutes just over and over again. I watched it, and the character's performance. I haven't seen a crazy, unsettling character about like Matthew McConaughey, because he's so crazy, but he's so controlled that's what freaks you out more, I think. He's not like the fact that he's not a spaz right in front of you. It's just he looks the same way, but you don't know what he is feeling at that same time. You might want to get... you know, the fried chicken moment, or he might try to be really nice.
You've got to watch Bad Lieutenant, the Herzog version.
The Herzog version with Nick Cage, right?
Nick Cage is like the same kind of way.
But I think Nick Cage is like that in real life.
Well,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. That's just who he is.
Yeah. But I would give this one... I forgot. Do you remember what I gave Cruising? Was it just a straight 8?
I think like, so, yeah. I think an 8 for Cruising.
See, then I'm going to have to move my Cruising one up, because I liked... I like this movie, and I'm going to give it an 8, too. I like Cruising better, but I'm going to give this one at least an 8. I'm going to probably watch it again. And
Cruising or Killer Joe?
Both, probably. But Killer Joe I would watch again, because I really... There's so many little things in there that make you laugh or just make you like just kind of feel like, well, that's pretty funny, right? Amidst the dark, dank, depressing setting that is this movie... But, you know, the suit scene, the beer scene, the barf scene, those are all terrible. Yeah.
God damn it.
You're so,
indie band
you're so
name
immersed
alert.
In it, right? It just, the whole experience was very weird. And you're not, like, getting, it's a complicated viewing experience, but I think that's what they were going for, and I was going to give it an 8, because I felt all that when I was watching it. And I thought it was funny throughout. I think it takes really someone special to be like, well, this shit is terrible, but why am I laughing at it, right?
Yeah.
And I'll give it an 8. So moving on to Mr. A, let's see what he says about that.
Well, I think I'm going to have to give it an 8 as well. I was kind of torn between 7.5, 8, but kind of considering that this movie is like riding the worst ride at Six Flags, throwing up, and then deciding to say, yeah, I kind of like that. That's what this movie is like. You know, you don't really like it as you experience it, but and then after you're done tossing your cookies after it's over, you seem to like it a little bit better. And I think, you know... there were scenes in there not only from the you know, the infamous fried chicken scene and the whole stuff with the at the lawyer's office, but they're just like the little things, like when Killer Joe just shows up at the trailer park, that goddamn pit bull who's always yapping shuts up,
never barks at him.
Yeah.
And then I kind of liked, you know, even though I don't think it was something in the play, but I did like the scene where, you know, the two biker guys chase after Emil Hirsch through that bombed out neighborhood, and then there's just this cordial exchange between Digger Soames and Emil Hirsch is like, yeah, we missed you at the barbecue, and guess what? These two guys are going to beat the shit out of you, and if you don't give me my money, I'm going to tie you up and put you in a grave site somewhere. So just little things like that. But, you know, it is a repulsive movie, sure. So you got to kind of take everything in stride. But, you know, it's a hard movie to like. I will say that.
I guess I've been getting really, like, letter grades lately, so I'm going to flip it around. I'll give it a B.
Okay.
Which is an 80% or above.
Yeah. I mean, there's B, B minus, B plus. I'm going to go with a B.
Was it a B? Is it not a B minus?
Not a bad, no.
So I'm saying I'm going to put that to an 8.5.
You take it how you want.
Yeah.
It's a B.
I feel like I have to give this like a zero. I'm not going to give it a zero.
That's harsh.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
So, yeah, I'll give it a B. It's brutal. I can't think of a situation.
B for brutal.
Cool.
There you go.
I like it.
Unintentional. I can't think of a situation where you would want to watch it, though. Like, if you haven't seen it, I would tell you, oh, you should check that out. But I don't know when you would be in the mood to see it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, doing something really absurd that'll make you kind of uncomfortable, but you'll probably like. Don't watch it
if you're on antidepressants.
Don't watch it on antidepressants. Don't watch it while eating chicken. Don't watch it with a date. Basically, by yourself if you're just having a bummer day and want to watch some people whose lives are worse than yours.
Yes.
Check it out. Or if you're going to be on a podcast to talk about it and you haven't seen it, go get it and check it out.
Box.
It's at Redbox.
It is at Redbox, yeah.
The R-rated version.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, you said the R-rated version was the same length as the regular cut.
Yeah, I know. It says on IMDb that the unrated version is 102 minutes and the cut version is 98 minutes, but the R-rated version that I got from Redbox was 102 minutes. So I don't know, and I mean, the little MPAA logo on the very end of the credits said R-rated, so I know it wasn't the NC-17 version. But I looked it up. You can find, like, the differences, and they show the screenshots, like, side by side. And really, it's chicken scene has, like, one more direct scene versus where you just see Matthew McConaughey's face. It's actually showing you what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Same dialogue. It's just the camera's in a different place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you still see it in the R-rated version. So maybe you just don't see it as many times.
Yeah.
And also, there's one scene where someone's getting beat in the face, and they show, like, one extra shot directly on as opposed to, like, from behind the shoulder, like, the back of someone's head. And that's it. Other than that, it's the same. So I can't imagine. I don't know why. Of all the things you could cut in that movie to try to get an R rating, I don't know why those two things made the difference. But then again, the MPAA is ridiculous.
That's
so who knows? But yeah, if you get the R rated version, it's fine. You're not going to miss anything.
You're not missing out on it.
Yeah, you can still tell how depraved it is.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Depravity is still there.
Rusty.
You know, I liked it, but I didn't love it. You know, it doesn't make any of my, like, top movie lists or anything that
I don't think it makes anyone's
top. Yeah, or anything, like, or really that I'd want to watch again.
I'm confused.
It's a piece of trash.
It's a piece of trash.
That you enjoyed.
Yeah,
I mean, I liked it, but I don't know. It just left me with a lot of, you know, very mixed feelings.
Is it like a drunken week in Thailand?
Exactly.
It's Rusty's lost weekend in a movie.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 6.5.
6.5.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought you said you wanted to watch it again. That's why I was confused that you just said you didn't want to watch it again.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. I'm
he
like, sometimes.
You have to choose right now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's how you're conflicted about it, you know? And
yeah.
I think the 6.5 was what I was feeling when we first watched it.
Yeah.
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 All right, here we go with Sam. He's not going to give it the lowest. No, actually, is it going to be lower
than Summer Hours?
Summer
no.
Hours?
Actually, maybe. I don't know.
Summer Hours is a piece of shit.
It's a fucking terrible movie.
Yeah.
Don't watch that shit.
Yeah.
I know it has like a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's a lie.
Summer Hours.
That's a fucking
lie.
Was
that that French movie that I walked out of?
Yes, that's the French movie that everyone except for Andy and I walked out of.
Yeah. Because we live here.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That movie sucks. Yeah, no, I really dislike this movie. I understood what it was trying to go for. I get it, but it was just not executed well, or at least not to my liking, at least. So I'm gonna have to give this like a 4, yeah, or like a 3.5 to 4. I don't know.
No, you can't give some. You gave Summer Hours a 3.5.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, still 3.5 to 4. 3.75. Whatever.
There we go.
Fucking
it's better
doesn't
than
matter.
Summer. Summer Hours was so bad that you wish for the Nazi
but yeah, but
occupation
that was like,
to still be
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but that was bad in a different way. This was bad just because like there were a lot of technical issues and like I expected better from Friedkin and you know a lot of other things. Where Summer Hours was just so fucking boring. Like I'm into estate planning and it's that I was bored with it.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
It was dumb.
So if I did the math correctly, so that's 2 8s, an 8.5, because he gave it a B, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then a 6.5 over there, and then a 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's still a weighted average of about 7.
Yeah.
Which is about what it is on
IMDb. It's a 6.8.
Okay. So
close to 7, yeah.
Neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good spread. Technical difficulties from Sam, which I guess that was the big thing for you. I think we can all agree that the performance by Matthew McConaughey and
it's particularly good. Yeah,
yeah, they're both really good.
Yeah,
I was great. Pissed that he didn't get nominated for Magic Mike. Like I thought that was a huge snub for like best supporting actor. I'm happy Christoph Waltz won, but I thought he could have gotten a nomination. But actually, he could have also been nominated for Killer Joe. Like that, Matthew McConaughey's getting kind of screwed.
The Academy is not going to nominate Killer Joe for anything.
he's finally not doing shitty rom coms with like Kate Hudson. And still not getting any real credit for it yet. Have you seen Bernie? That was also a really good movie that also takes place in Texas.
He did The Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah, also a good movie. Like he's getting out of that rut, but I feel like he needs some recognition.
He's okay. He's doing fine.
Oh, I want to mention something. So if we're going to talk about like dirty, dark Texas setting, I think part of the reason why we don't like it is when you were seeing like the scenes of, like trailer Texas or so-called trailer Texas, don't you think that the best example of that would be No Country for Old Men? Hands
absolutely
down.
No Country yeah for Old.
Well, yeah, but it's like
no, that's kind of how it is still.
But
like,
don't you think that you could say that's pretty much the same setting that we're feeling they were going
yeah
for?
Yeah, go to Carl's Corner. That's basically No Country for Old. I mean, it's the same
yeah
shit.
Fort
like
Stockton like looks like that still.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah an amazing movie. Coen Brothers fucking
movie
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess, you know, I think it's been a pretty tame one. Like, you hate it for justifiable reasons, I think.
There's just so many errors, and, like, there really shouldn't be with someone like this. Like, if it was a first-time director, you know, or, like, a second-time director.
Has anyone seen Bug?
No.
That. And then it just like disappeared. Like, I don't even remember it coming out in the
theaters. I think Bug did worse than this movie.
Yeah, I didn't realize what you're talking about until, like, midway through all this. But, yeah, I remember seeing previews for Bug, but then I never remember seeing it in a theater. So I don't know, maybe it had like a weird launch or also another thing about this movie is NC-17, and like you said, like you're not missing a lot from the R. So why is it NC-17 then? Like it doesn't really make
maybe
sense.
Maybe they just
like
hate Friedkin.
If you watch if you watch things like Shame or Hunger, like the things that Steve McQueen made, those are fucking awesome movies and their NC-17 rating makes some sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Shame, you just like forget Merkins, you just dong.
Yeah, it's just fucking all the time. It's just
big dongs in your face.
Yeah.
The fast penis.
The fast penis.
Right.
I don't know. Like, when we were watching the movie, I think we're all wondering what made it NC-17.
Yeah.
Because it's filleting a piece of fried chicken, and let's be honest, who hasn't done that already?
Yeah,
it was
on
some intense fellatio, though.
Oh, fuck. That was the unsettling part about the whole thing. Not the fact that she was sucking off a yeah piece of chicken, but that he was so violent, punched her in the face, and then shoved the piece of fried chicken yeah in her mouth.
It was just gross, like the mix of the blood and
bummed
the grease.
I was a little bummed there wasn't like grease actual impact, because I was expecting Driver style, like head blowing off, yeah, slow motion.
Oh, you mean Drive?
Drive. Did yeah I say Driver? My bad.
Driver.
Drive. Yeah.
Stare, like stopping him and just staring at her with in the your elevator.
I love
yeah
that movie.
Boot.
That movie is amazing.
Great soundtrack
yeah
too. Soundtracks
amazing.
This movie
soundtrack
did not have.
Kavinsky's Outrun just came out. It has Nightcall on it, by the way. Shout outs to Kavinsky. Like he needs some help.
I mean, wasn't the only song really in there was like Clarence Carter's Strokin'?
Yeah. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's a pretty interesting juxtaposition considering what you just saw, and then that thing comes on at the very end of at the end credits.
Sure.
But Sam, yeah, I can see what you're talking about, the technical issues. I don't know why they're in there. Maybe it's just because they wanted to have like a, you know, a grab ass feel towards how the movie is, and just kind of make it into that.
It just seems lazy for someone like Friedkin.
Cheap grindhouse
and
B
like
movie.
$10 million. That's not a small sum of money.
It has to be for the salary. Salary, I think.
For McConaughey, you think?
Probably.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're not. Yeah.
Except for Peter Cushing.
Gershon does acting for food now. Show your bush for food. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Awesome.
She is getting old.
Aww.
Catherine Zeta-Jones and side effects, like, looking a little old there. Kind of caked a lot of makeup on. Kind of obvious.
Gave her the big wide-frame glasses to hide over her face.
There's a review where, like, the dude was like, she looks super young in this. And I remember watching. I was like, no, she looks, like, not old, like an old person. But she looks like, yeah, kind of stately. Stately. But see, I don't know who the reviewer was. No. Catherine Zeta-Jones in side effects, which was boss.
She looked young at the Oscars. She did her little Chicago piece, and she looked kind of normal. Yeah. I mean, she lip-synced it, and I hate that song, but whatever. She looked fine, but in side effects, she looked pretty old.
I think she was supposed to look a little old in that, too. She's an older character. We'll talk about side effects separately.
I'll just say one last thing in defense of the movie. You know, I think there is the recognition that it's going to kind of – either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it, right? And I think, obviously, our conversation this evening reflected that. Sam, obviously you hate the shit out of this movie.
Stupid movie.
Whereas those of us who do like it, we really think that it's something.
Go watch Visitor Q. It's a better experience, and it's similar. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But here's what.
Not terrible at all.
But my ultimate defense of the movie. My ultimate defense of the movie is that at least somebody has the balls to make something this challenging. Because I don't think anybody, you know, wants to take subject matter like this and then try to present it to a mass audience. Really.
Yeah, I agree. With that.
I mean, and I like the fact that it's challenging. It tries to respect the audience's intelligence by exploiting less than intelligent characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess since Mr. A made this his pick, that we'll give him the last word. And I think arguments are great on both sides.
Yeah.
We're all winners.
Yeah. This is the winner's circle.
This is the winner's circle. Everyone gets a trophy. But anyway, thank you to our three special guests, Rusty, Justin, and Mr. A.
Thanks, guys.
And if you guys have any questions or comments about this movie, feel free to shoot us an email at 2bros1flick.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, you guys. We really appreciate it. And, check this movie out if you want. I don't know if you really want to, given the reviews that we've given of it.
Sam gets the last word, apparently.
It's okay. It's just a fact.
2 boys, 1 flick. Closing out.
Awesome. Thanks for listening. Bye.